I want you to take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter number 14 this morning. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and find verse number 42. Mark chapter 14, look at verse number 42. Once you have found it, why don't you go ahead and stand with me, if you will, please. Mark chapter 14, verse number 42. Mark chapter 14, verse number 42. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him, and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him, and took him." And let's pray. Father, bless now. I pray that you'd give my mind strength. There have been some things that would just seem to draw my mind off the sermon this morning. So I pray that you would help us to refocus. That way the truth of God is given the preeminent position that it deserves today in this place called your house, your church, not ours, but yours. So God, still us, quiet us, calm us, help those that have a hard time concentrating to sit still and pay attention to the Bible. Bless us with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I'm going to read a little list to you. It's a list from the Bible. This list of names, they all have something in common. They're all, some are better known than others, some are little known, but they're guilty of an identical error. They're guilty of an identical sin. The list are these: Delilah from Judges chapter 16, Judas from Mark chapter 14, Absalom from 2 Samuel chapter 15, Ahithophel from 2 Samuel chapter 15, Saul in 1 Kings chapter 18, Pekah from 2 Kings chapter 15, Menahem from 1 Kings chapter 15. The sin for which these were all guilty was that of being traitors. These people were guilty of being traitors in the Bible. We might compare them to the name Benedict Arnold. You've heard that name. Benedict Arnold was an American general during the Revolutionary War that betrayed America. And sad thing, that man's name today, Benedict Arnold, is synonymous with our understanding of what it means to be a traitor or disloyal to your country. Stay with me, if you will. You could throw in there names like Tokyo Rose. You could throw in there the name Jane Fonda, in my opinion. And I'm serious. In 1953, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were the first American civilians executed for espionage. They were charged with passing U.S. secrets to Russian agents, and they were sentenced to life in prison. Robert Hansen was a U.S. FBI agent who spied against our country for 22 years and conspired with the KGB. He also was sentenced to life in prison. John Walker Jr. in 1967 was a naval communications officer. He walked into the Soviet Union's embassy and turned over top secret U.S. Information and hurt our country in a terrible, terrible way. The Bible has a list of its own. It's got a list of those that were what you would call the betrayers, those that were the ones that practiced this thing that we might call being traitors. Probably in the Bible, one of the words that would come the closest to our modern-day term of traitor is the word conspiracy, or they conspired against someone. Earlier, I read to you from Mark chapter 14, and we read, and many of you right away noticed or recognized the passage of Scripture. It was a story about Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus Christ. Now, let me bring you up to date and remind you about that story. Jesus was walking the face of this earth, and Judas was one of the crew of men that had surrounded Jesus Christ. And for all practical purposes, he was considered a disciple of Jesus. Jesus had some enemies, and those enemies were out searching for Jesus Christ. Judas was near Jesus. He knew where Jesus was. Judas was also the one that was attending to the, if you will, the checkbook of the disciples. And they kind of trusted Judas. But remember, Jesus had enemies that were seeking for him. And we find out, according to the scripture, that Judas had some very bad friends. And Judas went and he told his friends, who were the enemy of Jesus Christ, where that enemy could find Jesus. And Judas betrays Jesus to Jesus's enemy. And that disloyal group, let me tell you, Judas was a disloyal coward. And so he betrays Jesus. And the next thing you know, Jesus's enemy come and they get him. And he's arrested. He is falsely accused and put on trial, and he is beaten and humiliated and scorned and crucified and put to death. And Judas had his fingers in the very beginning of that process because he was a betrayer. He was a traitor. Folks, let me tell you something. I would like to make it, in this life, I don't have to build the largest church in the nation. I don't have to be famous. I would like to just make it all the way to the end of my life and not betray the cause of Jesus Christ. I would like to be faithful to Jesus. I would like to be loyal to Jesus. I might take a beating in life, and I might lose something here and lose something there, but I certainly would like to keep my integrity when it comes to the cause of Jesus Christ, my loyalty to God, my loyalty to Jesus, my loyalty to the Word of God. Hey, let's not be spiritual Benedict Arnolds. Let's not be like Judas, a betrayer of God. Let's not be like a Jane Fonda and be disloyal to our heavenly nation, that kingdom of God and heaven. According to Matthew chapter 27, verse number 5, Judas, after he betrayed Jesus, could not deal with his disloyalty. He could not deal with what he had done. You know what he did? He went out and hung himself. You say, why? He felt so dirty having betrayed that which was right. He could not deal with his own betrayal. A betrayer's self-worth is destroyed. Let me tell you something. If you betray that which is right, you will whittle away at your own self-worth, and you will self-destruct. Now, what I did is I got to thinking about this idea of the traitors in the Bible. You know, during the election, there's all sorts of words and ideas being thrown around, and all sorts of who's loyal to what and what's loyal. And I thought, wow, isn't that really weird? But you know something, even in the Bible, there were those that were that they were traitors. And I got to looking at it. And I did. I found a list. There's a long list of people in the Bible that were virtually traitors. They would have been what we would have called Benedict Arnolds to the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm going to point a few of them out to you today. I call the sermon Traitors in the Bible. For instance, Delilah, and you've heard that name. Delilah, I think, became a traitor for the cause of money. Listen to Judges chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. It says, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand." I want to stop right there and let me tell you the story. There's a man by the name of Samson. He was a very powerful man in the Bible. His gal, her name was Delilah. And some people wanted to know what was the key to the strength of this man called Samson, because nobody quite understood why he was so powerful. Well, his girl knew, or was about to find out, the key to his power. What ends up happening is Samson's enemy inquires with Delilah and says, "What makes your man so powerful?" And the Bible says that she ends up selling him out. And I want you to listen to the words. It says, "Then the lords of the Philistines," that was the enemy, "came up unto her to Delilah and brought the money in their hand." That woman sold out her man for money. For money. And as a result, what happens is, she then tells the enemy, the object of his power, they come, they take him. He becomes a captive. They torture him. They put out his eyes. They chain him like an animal to grind wheat and grain at a mill. He loses his strength. Now, I want you to understand, Delilah became a traitor for money. Now, let me tell you of the results. In Judges 16:21, it says, "But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters and brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Here, a great man is virtually destroyed because someone loved money. That's a sad thing to me. Is money more important to mankind? Should it ever be? Should you ever hurt anybody over money? But she did. Samson was a champion. He was a champion for the people. If you know most of the stories about Samson, and I realize there were times of Samson's misbehavior, but Samson was very, very able, and at one time was a champion for the people. When she betrayed him for money, she didn't only hurt him. She didn't only hurt herself. She hurt the cause of a group of people by betraying him. There are a lot of people that I believe that end up getting hurt because she betrayed Samson for money. Folks, could I recommend something to all of us? Don't betray Jesus for money. For money. Don't do that. Don't betray your church for money. Don't betray the old-time religion for money. Put God out in front, not your money. Put the church out in front, not your money. Put your ministry out in front, not your money. Be careful not to love your money and love your job so much that you don't have time for God and that you don't have time to serve God. Hey, look, I'll tell you something. If you steal the tithe, you are betraying Jesus because you're keeping his money. It's too bad, but sometimes we betray Christ for money. For money. I love money more than I love God. I would be very, very careful, folks. We hear the story of Delilah, and someone would say, I'll tell you what. What kind of woman would betray her man over money? And you say, that disgusts me. And then we will turn on God, or we will betray him and put something before God. Money. I think that's a dangerous thing. I see in the story, or in the Bible, another story. See the story of Saul. Saul becomes a traitor in the Bible, and he does it because of jealousy. Let me read you a story. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7, 8, 9, it says, "And the woman answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward." First of all, I said that I happen to believe that Delilah was a traitor, but she was a traitor for the sake of money. Now, I take you to Saul, a leader in the Old Testament. And Saul, he becomes a traitor because of jealousy. Because of jealousy. Here's the story. Saul was king in Israel. David was a soldier underneath Saul. David had just fought a great victory and defeated the one called Goliath. Well, they were having a victory parade coming back into town. Saul was the king. David fought Goliath. David is in a parade coming back into town. They're celebrating the great victory. The ladies on the street started a chant. And they chanted, "Saul hath slain thousands." And old Saul the king, he said, "Yeah, buddy. That's me." They got to the second verse of the song, and the lady sang, "And David hath slain his tens of thousands." And Saul looked at David and said, "I hate him. It's virtually what he did. The Bible says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. It worked like this. Saul looked out at David and went, got my eye on you. You're jealous. There are people sitting under the sound of my voice. You're in deep sin right now. You're jealous over something. If I were you, I'd be real careful. Let me tell you what happened. Saul's jealousy with David. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 18:11, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. You understand something? David had not done a thing to Saul. Saul was jealous of David. Saul is trying to murder an innocent person. Why? Because he was jealous. He was jealous. Get this. In 1 Samuel 18:12, it says, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Let me explain something to you. If God is interested in your life at all, if you let jealousy stay in your life, God may retract himself and his power out of your life. That's exactly what happened to Saul. Saul was the king. He and David were unified. They were fighting victories and winning them together. Saul finds himself jealous of David. And the Bible says the next thing you know, you've got Saul, who is supposed to be a promoter of the law, out to murder someone. Not because that someone did something to them, but because he was jealous of that someone. And then the Bible says it is evident that God retracts himself from Saul. He pulls away from Saul. Now, hey, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you don't want God to retract himself from you. That's the result. Let me ask you, will you betray a good person because you're jealous of them? Don't be a betrayer. Don't be like that. Don't be a traitor. Did someone get attention that you wanted and your jealousy has engaged what will turn into a disloyalty that will cause you to self-destruct, and it may cause you to end up hurting someone that is innocent just because you're jealous? And I'll tell you what else. If even in the slightest way God is upon your life, but in some ways God's on your life in a far more powerful way, your jealousy will cause God to retract himself from you. You say, why? Because your jealousy is self-centered. Your jealousy is prideful. Your jealousy is all about you and it's not about others. And God is not interested in blessing self-centered Christians. I've seen church members become jealous over church members, and as a result, they become betrayers. They become traitors. Oh, hey, all you have to do is have one church member become jealous over another church member. Then you find, as a pastor, you find yourself in the middle of it. And you're trying to figure out what in the world person number two did to number one. And they didn't do a thing to him. Number one is just jealous. And so, as a pastor, you end up being the object of someone's scorn because two church members aren't getting along, and it's not the person that they're jealous of. Somebody has sin in their heart, and it's a self-centered sin called jealousy. When the Bible says that Saul eyed David, have you ever heard the old terminology that jealousy is called the green-eyed monster? It'll destroy you. Get this, and this I say just because I think it's going to help a couple of you understand something. You're not jealous of people who are less capable than you. You get jealous of people that are more capable than you, and you can't handle the fact that somebody's better than you. You have a pride issue in your roots. Matter of fact, you don't criticize people who are weaker than you. You criticize, there's just something about this thing of pride and its roots in our life. Now, the whole lesson's about traitors in the Bible. Judas was a traitor. Judas damaged himself to the point that he wanted to kill himself because he couldn't handle what he had become. Why? Because he was a traitor. Delilah, she became a traitor over money. Saul became a traitor with David, and he did it because he was jealous of David. Do you know that there was room for David and Saul? Plenty of room. Did you know that in the work of God, there's plenty of room for everybody? Why is it that you're jealous over that spot in this massive arena of, you know, if you want to get in the fight for God, there's plenty of room for you to have a territory to conquer. Why do you want theirs? But let me go on. Number three, there's a man by the name of Pekah. It's P-E-K-A-H. He's a trader in the Bible, not real well known. He was a trader because he had a desire to have a position. And he became a trader because he didn't get a position that he wanted. He didn't get it the right way, so he became a trader and he got the position he wanted the wrong way. I'll read to you from 2 Kings chapter 15, verse number 25. It says, "But Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him, and he killed him and reigned in his room." Now, let me explain this. This story is about a king by the name of Pekahiah. Now, these are two different people. There is Pekah and Pekahiah. Pekah is the traitor. Pekahiah, at that time in history, was the king of Israel. Pekah wanted to be the king. Pekahiah was justly and rightly the king. Pekah wanted to be the king so bad that Pekah betrays his king, Pekahiah. He slays him and immediately takes his place. And it talks about he reigned in his room. It means the minute he slew him, man, he was in that throne room and sitting on that throne because he wanted it so bad. Folks, I've watched many a person become a traitor because they desired a position. They wanted a position. Now, let me give you the results of this story. In 2 Kings 15:28, it says, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Now, here's what happened. Understand that when Pekah slew his king, because he so desperately just wanted to sit in a chair, he wanted to be in the throne so bad, he killed his king to get it. The Bible teaches that his evil increased. It says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He had already done evil by betraying his king. Now his evil is increasing. And listen to this. It says in verse 30 of the same chapter, later on in the story, Elah made a conspiracy against Pekah and slew him. You know what happened? He reaped what he has sown. Now, let me warn y'all. You want a position so bad, you'll do what it takes to get what you want. Well, don't be shocked. You heard that verse from Owens chapter 2, what goes around comes around? You want something so bad and you go after it and you get it in an evil way and you become a traitor to get it. Don't be shocked if somebody doesn't knock you off of your holy high horse someday and stab you in the back and cut your throat and take your position from you. Why? Because yours was ill-gotten and not deserved and taken in an evil way. And God has a way of making sure that you get evil for acting evil. And that's what happened to Pekah. You know, folks, let me teach you something. In church and in the service of God, get this, just want to serve. Just want to serve. Don't seek position. Just want to serve. Don't seek promotion. Just want to serve. Let me help everybody here. Don't do what you do around the Twin Rivers Baptist Church hoping for position or hoping for promotion. Do it because you love Jesus. That sounds good. You say, why? Because if you're seeking promotion or you're seeking position and you don't get what you seek, you will probably become disloyal and you will probably become a traitor for the cause of Christ because your motive was not pure. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to serve Jesus. You know, you can serve Jesus and you don't have to have a position to serve Jesus. Just serve Jesus. Just serve God. Love Him. Don't betray the cause of Christ because you didn't get a position that you wanted. Don't betray the cause of Christ. or your church, or the church leadership, because you didn't get a position that you wanted. Pekah wanted a position more than he wanted purity. And folks, anytime you want position more than you want purity, it is going to end up being a putrid result. It will stink. It will ruin your life. You'll find yourself among the names like Absalom and Benedict Arnold, and you'll mess your life up. And hey, before long, you'll feel so bad about yourself because you're a betrayer. You'll have a hard time emotionally dealing with yourself to the point that Judas wanted to hang himself. Why? He was dirty. He was dirty. What he wanted on the inside was not pure. Delilah wanted the money so bad that she would betray to get what she wanted. And some of you, you sell out for money. Money's so important to you. There's something more important than money, folks. It's Jesus. It's God. It's people. It's purity. Saul, he was jealous of somebody. And as a result of it, he destroys himself and God retracts himself by being a traitor. Pekah wanted a position so bad, but he wasn't interested in purity. You wanted to be the bus captain, and you weren't chosen. I wonder how long it'll be before you're gossiping about some bus captain because they got your position. You wanted to be in that singing group, and you weren't chosen. You're mad at Brother Edwards. You knucklehead! Or the pastor. Or better yet, the people that were chosen. They're bad. They're bad people. They're bad. Why are they bad? Because you didn't get what you wanted. We discipline our children for behaving like that. You weren't chosen as Sunday school teacher, so you're upset. You weren't chosen as a deacon. You weren't chosen as a leader. Folks, I'll tell you again, serve in a pure way. Don't seek anything in exchange. Just serve because you love Jesus. You say, I want to be on the church staff. I'm going to warn everybody here. Everybody in this auditorium, you listen to your pastor. I've been doing what I do for a long time. You want that so bad that if you don't get it, you'll become an enemy to what you said you loved. Which shows there wasn't a purity in the intent in the first place. And sometimes it's good that it surfaces. Because you figure it out. See, position seekers have a tendency to become traitors when they don't get what they want. Jealous people tend to become traitors when they don't get what they want. Money-hungry people, they tend to become traitors because there's something more important than the purest things of life, which are Jesus and God and honesty and purity. Let's go on. It's very quiet in here and I feel bad for you. Reality seems to suck the air out of the room. Some people become traitors because the preacher preaches against their sin. That's the case. That's the case with Zechariah. Let me read to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 20 and 21. It says, the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, and I want you to notice, God was upon him. It was obvious God was upon Zechariah. And it goes on. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, so he's preaching what God wants, why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper, because ye have forsaken the Lord? He hath also forsaken, and they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones. Doesn't sound good for my side of the fence. Here's a man that had the power of God on him. He stood up and he preached, thus saith the Lord. But it so affected people that they didn't like what he said that they stoned him. They stoned him. Zechariah was God's man. It says here he was standing up on a platform above the people. He preached, thus saith the Lord. Some didn't like it. See, his preaching didn't match their plan. His preaching revealed their pride. His preaching revealed their stinginess and their wrong. The Bible used the words, and they conspired. What is that? That's traitor talk. That's traitor talk against him. Now, what's the results? 2 Chronicles 24:23, it says, and it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all of the spoil of them unto the king. Here's what happened. They conspired and they stoned the man of God. They thought they would gain something by this. But according to this, a heathen country came up against them. And everything that they thought they gained, they lost. Because it says a heathen country came and spoiled them. Let me explain what that means. You become a traitor, and you go to get something in an impure way. Everything you thought you were gaining, you stand the potential of losing that and everything else. I've watched people through the years in what we would call the spiritual realm become traitors to get what they want. You need to watch further on down the line. They thought they gained something for a moment. I've watched those very kind of people lose what they thought they gained and everything else. Hey, folks. I never intend to preach a sermon to hurt you. It's not my intent. Let the preaching help you. Let the preaching correct you. Let the preaching humble you. Don't betray your God because you heard a truth that you didn't like. Don't betray your church because God's message embarrassed you. You say, but I'm guilty. Just do what the rest of us do. Confess. Forsake. Learn and better yourself. But some people, they just don't get it. Watch out now. If the man of God ever pinpoints your sin, you will either become better because of it or you'll become bitter because of it. And if you become bitter because of it, you potentially are walking the path of the traitor. That's exactly what happened in this story. So, the traitors in the Bible, Delilah, traitor for money. Saul, traitor because of jealousy. Pekah, a position seeker, became a traitor. Zechariah finds himself stoned to death. He was betrayed because he preached the word of God. People couldn't handle being told they were wrong. Judas, I believe, and I'll just touch on this. I use this at the beginning of the sermon. According to Mark chapter 14, the Bible says, and they that betrayed him. And so there was a betrayal that takes place here in the story of Judas. I happen to think from all indications, Judas was probably a betrayer because his associations were with betrayers. You say, well, Judas betrayed because of money. I don't think so. He threw the money away. I think Judas was close to disloyal people. I mean, how did these people think that they could approach Judas about tattling on Jesus? I'm going to guess that Judas was hanging around some questionable people. And so because Judas was hanging around questionable people, the people said, you know what, this Judas, he's not all in. He's not sold out to Jesus. He's not sold out to God. He's not sold out to the church. He's not sold out. He's not committed. I wonder if we could tantalize him with a little temptation. I bet we could because we've been chumming around. We can make innuendo in his presence about Jesus and he does not defend Jesus. You know what we can do? We can talk down about Jesus in his presence and he won't defend Jesus. You know, he's all loyal, which is not loyalty at all. He's made it clear. He won't stand up and fight for Jesus, so let's just throw the bait out there. We'll see if we can bait him in. And they said, why don't you help us? And you know what? Judas said, let's do it. It wasn't the money because he threw the money away. It's time for some of you, when the dirty joke's going to be told at work, you need to say, I don't want to hear that. Instead of justifying listening to the filth and saying, well, they don't know better, but you do. And I'm not saying you gotta take them and, you know, give them a pile driver or ram their head into the wall, but I am saying it's time for some of you to let people know you're not all loyal when it comes to Jesus. Amen. You stand up and you say, I'm a Christian. I don't talk like that. I don't act like that. There's some of you, if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself at Christmas parties and New Year's parties where you're going to be drinking and doing all sorts of other trash that Christians ought not be associated with. You know what? Somebody might come up to you and say, hey, how would you like to go do something really, really bad? I notice that you don't take a stand. I noticed they did not approach John and say, hey, John, you want to betray Jesus? Say, why? John said, I'll die for him. But Judas, he had his tail halfway between his legs all the time. He was a cowardly. He said, I'm meek. Meekness is not weakness, folks. Meekness is a power under control. John was John the Beloved, but you don't see John being tantalized by the enemy saying, turn him in. Judas ran with the wrong crowd, and that wrong crowd turned him into a betrayer. Let me give you one more. Number 6, Menahem. He became a traitor in an effort to get power. In an effort to get power. 2 Kings chapter 15, verse number 14, it says, for Menahem, the son of Gadai, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria and smote Shalom, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria and slew him and reigned in his stead. Here's the story. Menahem, if you read the whole story in 2 Kings, you would find out this man was power hungry. He turns on Shalom and kills him to get his power. The Bible says, and he reigned in his stead. You remember a minute ago I told you about a guy that couldn't wait to get the throne. He wanted the position. Now here's a guy that's not interested in position. He's just interested in power. I don't have to be the pastor. Let me put it this way. I don't have to be the pastor. I just want to run him. It'll be a long day where the boogeyman lives before you'll run this old boy. Don't work that way. But see, it wasn't a matter of I have to have the position. Not this time. He says, I wanted the power. Folks, be careful. You can become a traitor in the cause of Christ because you're power hungry. I want to be in charge. Now look, everybody can't be in charge of everything. Yeah, I've got bus captains here. They're in charge of their bus route. And the captain of bus route number 1 needs to let the captain of bus route number 2 be in charge of bus route number 2. And the captain of bus route number 3 needs to let the captain of bus route number 1 be the captain of their route. Well, I want to control that. It's not yours to control. You say, what are you talking about? Basically, keep your nose in your business. You say, but I'm not leading anything. I guess we got your number, don't we? Some of you think you're a fundamentalist, but this is not hard preaching. This is tiptoeing through on the outside edges of the whole thing. I know preachers that would call names while they were doing this sort of thing. The concept, though, do you understand it? We get hungry for power, for position. This person didn't want to submit. This person wanted to make all the decisions. Now, let me tell you the result in this man's life. It says in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse number 16. Oh, when I read this, it just disturbed me so badly. It says, Menahem smote Tibshah and all that were therein and the coast thereof and Tirzah, because they opened not to him, therefore he smote it. See, he is power hungry, and they're not submitting to him, so he's destroying things. And it says, and all the women that were, let me reread it. And all the women therein that were with child, he ripped up. Do you understand? This guy was so power hungry to get what he wanted, he's actually destroying pregnant women. I'll get the power that I want. Wow. Power-hungry people that become traitors will destroy anything in their path to get what they want. I mean, if you're to the point where you can destroy a woman that's with child, you're a pretty nasty person. That's pretty nasty. But what's it warning against? He was power-hungry. He wasn't necessarily position-hungry. He was power-hungry. He becomes a traitor because he wants to be in control. Folks, if you're not careful and your power hungriness causes you to become a traitor for the cause of Christ, you'll start hurting the innocent to get what you want. I hate to say it. I can't tell you how many times I've watched power-hungry people destroy innocent people so they could have what they wanted. That's so sad to me. That is so sad to me. I go back to this thought. There are traitors in the Bible. There's a long list. I got to looking at them, and I thought, wow, when I was hearing, you know, when all our presidential candidates and everybody was just slinging, they call it slinging mud. They were slinging mud at each other. And you're disloyal, and you're disloyal, and you're disloyal, and you're disloyal. And we were all saying, oh, they ought not be disloyal. I got to think, I wonder how many of us are borderline disloyal with God over money, over position, because we're jealous, over power, over, if you're not careful, over what's said. Someone tells the truth and you can't handle the truth, so you scorn the object of the truth. That's one of the privileges of being a pastor. You can, in all honesty, say what God said and preach the truth to someone, and they don't get mad at God. They get mad at you because you told. You told. I wonder how many times I was mad at my little brother because he tattled on me. He tattled on me, but I was mad at him. And my mother would say, Jeff, didn't you do it? And I would say, yeah, but I'm going to beat him up for it. Let's not be traitors in the spiritual world. Be loyal to God. Be loyal to the Bible. Be loyal to the truth of God. And you could see some reasons why. And remember this, and I'm done. If you dirty yourself with that disloyalty toward God, you'll have a hard time dealing with yourself. When Judas stopped and said, what have I done? He said, none of it was worth what I just brought upon myself. He threw the money away. Then he said, I can't deal with me for betraying something that I was supposed to love. You want to cancel your nervous breakdown? Get your loyalty to God and the truth of God in its place, and you won't have to fall apart. But you let those loyalties waver when you're supposed to be loving something that's pure and you don't, you'll ruin your own self-worth. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I want to welcome you to the Savior. I've tended toward teaching the Christian to be cautious of the traitors and the lessons we're taught about the traitors in the Bible. But you may be here and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I'll pray for you. I promise. Who here would say, pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm concerned about it. Would you raise your hand? Say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. God bless you. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. You may put your hand down. Who here would say, pastor, the loyalty that I'm supposed to express toward the pure things of life, I need to work on that. Today, as I search through what was said, God did speak to my heart. I see it. I see that I need my loyalty to those pure things. I need to serve Jesus because I love Jesus. And I need to watch my pride and watch what I want, but be interested in what he wants. And I see. And God has spoken to my heart. I need to be cautious that I don't tend toward some of those behaviors that a traitor might be guilty of. And you'd say, pray for me. I want to be careful of that. And you put your hand up. Lots of hands. Sure. Absolutely. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call if you need a moment. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're saved and you say, I just need to be careful that I don't find myself walking the path of a Judas, walking the path of a Delilah, walking the path of a Pekah, a Mayhem. You say, I've got to be careful of that. Maybe you need a moment at the altar. And remember something. It's a self-destructive path. He couldn't handle what he had chosen to do. Don't let that happen to you. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. If you need to come and say, Lord, just help me to do the right thing. Be loyal to the Word of God. Be loyal. Be loyal to the Spirit of God. Be loyal to the truth of the Bible. Be loyal to the pure things. If you're not saved, you come, we'll take a Bible, and we'll show you how to be born again. I might throw this in here. We're a very unified church. I don't have one fear of disloyalties within our ranks. I don't think it exists. But that's a good time to preach a sermon to remind us of how to behave. I'm more interested in your loyalty to God, your loyalty to the Word of God, your loyalty to the cause of God. We say, that Benedict Arnold, that Jane Fonda, that's bad. Yeah, sometimes we're disloyal to the cause of Christ. We put money before God. We let our jealousies get in the road of what ought to be good relationships. But we're jealous. We want a position. So we find ourselves walking the path of a traitor. We want power. So we would betray. We don't want to be told the truth. Our associations tamper with our commitment to the pure things of life. This will be the last time through the song. We'll read the names of those being saved, and then we'll be on our way. Really and honestly in life, what ought to happen, you just take even the New Testament church. Why don't you get yourself to the point where you're so humble, all you want to do is serve God. If somebody came up to you and said, hey, how would you like a position of leadership? Why don't you be shocked instead of having sat on the edge of your seat saying, I deserved it a long time ago. It's about time you came to me. I'd say, everybody look right this way. Make yourself humble enough that when God gives you opportunity, you're just pleased and shocked and thrilled instead of expectant and you knew it was yours. And if you can't get yourself there, you're going to be offended when it doesn't come your way. And by the way, when people are offended when they don't get their way and they storm off, you know what the leader says? I called that one right. Yeah. Because that behavior tells you what was really in their heart.